At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Will there be a heat check in Denver? The odds say no ahead of tonight's game one of the NBA Finals. Plus, as NFL off-seasons continue, there's a lot of buzzworthy headlines out there. Are they worthwhile or not? We'll get into all that and more as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM on a Thursday alongside Michael Lombardi out east in Jersey. Stormy Bonantoni with you at Circa Resort and Casino, our Las Vegas studio here for VSiN. Also on the show today, we'll have VSiN contributor and betting analyst Will Hill coming up in about 30 minutes. Professional handicapper Mike Somich joins us in hour two, and VP of operations here at Circa, Mike Palm, back after a couple of weeks off with Palms Pressing 3. And Michael, I know you've missed Palms Pressing 3, so we're going to have that.
I have. I missed you. I missed the show. Yes, it's good to be back. Happy June, too. I mean, yes. We are in the month of June, so we're slowly matriculating towards football season, which is always a good thing. We're in the height of all these OTA days and mini camps, and we finally have finals. We have your Vegas Knights, which I tip my cap to you. Congratulations. And I think we got a really good matchup with Miami and Denver.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited. Yeah, you didn't get to be here on Tuesday when I did my victory lap of just jumping for joy being on cloud nine. So appreciate that. And let's talk about this NBA Finals matchup. Game one coming up tonight, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern on ABC. Jimmy Butler said they like it the hard way. They never want it to be easy. Well, it's not going to be easy. So he got what he wanted here with the Denver Nuggets. They are an 8.5-point favorite coming into this opening game. 219.5, our total at BetMGM. What are your initial thoughts here for the opening game?
Well, I think you go back to when the Knicks were an 8 seed, you know, during the strike season. I think they played 54 games. I think this is the first time we've seen that happen again. But if you go back and study that and you listen to what Van Gundy says about that team that he coached, they really weren't an 8 seed. You know, they were kind of a better team than that, but they had some injuries. And then they lost Patrick Ewing in the Indiana series before they went to the finals. And so they were falling short. I think Miami's not an 8 seed either, even though we categorize them as that, because the disruption that they felt during the season, injuries and all that, has made it. But this Denver team is for real. And the one thing this Denver team has going for them is they have Jokic, who's this incredible passer. He's a facilitator. He's a pleaser. He helps everybody. And it's going to be a challenge for Spoelstra and his staff to devise a game plan to how they can limit. You can take away Jokic, but taking away his scoring is one thing. Taking away his ability to make the other players better is harder.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a guy who's averaging a 30-point triple-double this postseason. It's not something that's easy to shut down. We all know that there's matchup concerns when it comes to Bam Adebayo, the way that Jokic has been able to play against him in the past. And I was I was curious your opinion on this. I talked about it with JVT a little bit yesterday. The fact that like Miami's zone defense has been something that's really worked for them. We saw it in the series with the Bucks. We saw it in the series with the Boston Celtics where it tripped up the opposition a little bit. Denver is the number one rated team in the NBA playing against zone defense. So how is that going to affect this Miami team who's been using that as a strength?
Well, I mean, Miami plays more zone than any team in the league, right? We know this. And they play it differently than most teams. I think one of the things when people hear the term zone, they think, okay, we're going to relax our defense. We'll let our players catch our breath. Miami plays an up-tempo zone. They play a hard-edge zone. They are challenging. They're moving. They're trying to do things. You could see it. They're a match zone team, and the way they put away their they take their worst defender and put him on the back line to let Bam Adebayo be a factor in this. So the problem's going to come into is when Hal Malone, who's had time to prepare for this with the Denver Nuggets, where he stations Jokic, and do they double him in a zone concept? Because the one thing Greg Popovich always said about Jokic, the talent that he possesses, is you cannot double him when he can see it. If he sees you coming for a double team, it's over for you. So you have to almost be CIA-ish. You've got to be deceptive with your doubles. That's hard to do.
Yeah, I think that tonight will be good for us as viewers and bettors to kind of get a feel for the way that these games are going to be played and what's going to be successful or not against a guy like Nikola Jokic, who is so dynamic no matter who's up against him on a given night. But also you think about some of the games that they've played, whether it be in the postseason or regular season as well. Usually like the games where he goes off are the games where you're not getting a lot of support from the guys around you.
Right.
And it's kind of like, okay, we know that Jokic is going to beat us. Let him do whatever he's going to do and just make sure that nobody else can hurt us on the floor. So maybe that's a tactic coming into tonight. But throughout the course of the playoffs, it seems like every series, and especially last series against Joe Mazzulla, we've talked about the Heat's advantage when it comes to the head coach in Eric Spoelstra, and he is one of the best coaches in the NBA. But now you're going against Michael Malone, who's got a pretty darn good coaching record himself here, and that's not an advantage for Miami in this spot. They've had the rest advantage as well. As somebody who's watched like not only obviously the amount of football that you have, but all sports and in the NBA, because I know that's a love of yours, what do you make of the rest advantage? How significant is that for Denver coming into this game after 10 days?
Well, I don't. The rest is great, but there's rest comes rust, and so there's going to be a little bit of the pace of the game. You know, we're at a point in the season where you know everybody needs rest, but sometimes there's too much rest. It's like we go to you know the Chiefs when they had a bye week, you know, and they have all this time off, and they're getting ready to play Jacksonville in the playoff game, or Philadelphia when they're getting ready to play the Giants. Rest is great. But being able to play immediately at a high level is always your concern as a coach. Now, I believe, to me, Malone will address that because I think his players are all in. I don't think they have the, hey, we're going to go gamble in Las Vegas or we're going to go make, you know, we're going to hit the Borgata like the 76ers player, the one player did, James Harden. But to me, it's really about having your practice execution be similar to a game. Because conditioning is what matters this time of the year more than anything, right? And so you can't let your conditioning slip away. You can't take 5 days off. You can't just disappear. You know, we use the word rest as if it's the golden goose, when in reality, you've got to be precise with your execution. And you can't lose that. And I think Malone's smart enough to know that.
Michael, I feel like you not only did a dig to James Harden there, but Joel Embiid. Talking about the conditioning as well.
I can do it all the time, subtly or overtly.
I mean,
I could do it clandestinely or overtly. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just obvious. You know, it's so obvious. It's going to be interesting to see Mr. Nick Nurse, mm-hmm. how he handles this, you know. Is he going to show him? This is what I would like to know. None of the reporters in Philadelphia will ask Nick Nurse at his press conference because they couldn't believe that this would be in a scouting report. But I wonder if Nick Nurse is going to show Joe Embiid a scouting report on him.
Ooh,
that would be fascinating. Here's what we think of you from Toronto's perspective.
Well, I was going to say, because I know that we talk about a lot of these things, or they talk about a lot of those things behind the scenes, but actually bring it to the player. That would be very interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about Nick Nurse and the 76ers later, but I want to stick to this series.
You brought it up.
Right,
I know. You brought it up. That's your fault, not mine.
You brought up James Harden. Come on. But obviously, Denver in this spot is a significant favorite. In the series, they've been bet up from minus 360 all the way up to around 425, I've seen today. Same thing with game one. Most spots around town are sitting at 9. But Denver isn't about to let being the favorite's role impact their approach to this series. Here's head coach Michael Malone, followed by Nikola Jokic, on their thoughts about where things stand.
What are the themes going up against Miami, and what may make them an atypical 8 seed?
Well, as I told our team, man, like, forget the 8 seed stuff. I mean, they beat Milwaukee 4-1. Team had the most wins in the NBA this year. They beat Boston 4-3, and they're up 3-0. Team with, I think, the second most wins in the NBA this year. So you get to the NBA Finals, it's not about seeding anymore. And for those that are thinking that this is going to be an easy series, I don't even know what to say to you people. I mean, like, this is going to be the biggest challenge of our lives. It's the NBA Finals. You know, this is, you're trying to win the first NBA championship in franchise history. And it's going to be the hardest thing that we've ever done, which is the way it should be.
Who said that we are favorites? The media?
Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas told us that we are not, we were underdog before. That doesn't, it's not correct, I think. I mean, I think we are not the favorites. I think in the finals, there is no favorites.
I appreciate the sentiment, but yes, they are favorites. They're favorites for a reason. But I like the way that Malone is approaching this with his team, Michael, that he's saying you're going to have to fight for every inch of this thing.
You know, what we often do in sports is we take one sport and we transition it to another. So we take the seedings in the NCAA tournament, and then it means something in the NBA. Okay? Well, yeah. I mean, you're seeded. That's what you earn based on your one loss record, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no correlation to the cause of that. We know Miami played a lot of games with injuries. They went through it. They weren't all precise. But to think that they're still an 8 seed after beating Milwaukee 4-1. I know Milwaukee didn't have Giannis. I get that. But then they come back and, you know, the Knicks were playing at their best level. They took care of them and didn't even shoot well or play well in that game, that series. And then they take Boston and go up 3-0. So Malone has the right. You could just hear his players and his messaging to his team. Look, nothing's easy. We're at the highest level of sports that we can get to. And if we don't play our best, they will beat us.
And you have to think, too, with this Miami Heat team, 4 years with Jimmy Butler, they've been to the conference finals 3 times. They've been to the NBA Finals now, their second time. Yes, their regular season wasn't what you would expect for a Miami Heat team, but they were a 6-1 shot in the preseason to be in this position and win an NBA Finals. And obviously, that changed 150-1 after the play-in, but they are built a specific way, and they have a lot of the intangibles that I think other teams on this run have not had that is unquantifiable. So we'll discuss this series at length throughout the course of the next 2 hours. Great start, though, here, Michael. We'll get picks from Mike Somich and Will Hill a little bit later, but when we come back, more details have emerged from Aaron Rodgers' exit in Green Bay, and Tom Brady is certain that his playing days are behind him. We'll discuss that and more in News or Noise next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And this is the time in the NFL offseason program where news cycles are a little bit slower, Michael. We're making whatever kind of content that we can find. I know journalists all over the country are just trying to make stories here. And I think it's good for us to separate what's news and what's noise in a number of these headlines. So
yeah,
let's get into it, especially because I know you're very close to the situation here with the Raiders, and we've talked a lot over the last week about Jimmy Garoppolo and the news coming about out about having to have surgery on his foot, the waiver that was put into his contract that delayed that initial press conference announcement, and everybody's kind of been freaking out about it and stirring up the rumor mill about, well, Tom Brady, maybe he could come back out of retirement. I know he's would have to get full unanimous.
Tom Brady's working out. Tom Brady's working out. Oh my God, Tom Brady's working out.
It's like
I heard Tom Brady was working out with shoulder pads. I heard Tom Brady was in a full uniform working out. Did you hear that? I heard everything. It's unbelievable. Tom Brady's working out.
Full uniform rumor. That's hysterical.
That was one I heard.
Wow.
Yeah, full uniform. Could you imagine that? Well, buckled up, knee braces, and everything.
Well, so he had an interview that came out in Sports Illustrated this morning where he said he's certain he's not playing again. Quote, I've tried to make that clear. I hate to continue to profess that because I've already told people that lots of times. So he has to outwardly come out and say this because the rumor mill about him coming to the Raiders if Jimmy G gets hurt is just going all over the place.
It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Look, the Jimmy G thing, and I talked about this on my pod, this is a no story. They want Jimmy G to be healthy. They want Jimmy G to be their starting quarterback. But there's also the business element of this. And the fact is they had to put an injury waiver, which is very common in contracts. And, of course, somebody writes on Twitter, well, it's not common in seven-figure signing bonuses. Well, maybe the fifth metatarsal having to put a screw in isn't common either. But the intent is common. The intent is common. If they didn't want to pay the bonus, they would have failed him on the physical. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to reduce the bonus, they would have failed him on the physical. And then once they failed him on the physical and he becomes a free agent again, they could have got a better deal. They could have got a great deal. They could have said, well, everybody, Jimmy's damaged goods. We don't want him. Oh, Jimmy, you want to come back? Okay, instead of giving you 20 to sign, we're going to give you 10 because nobody else in the league wants you because you're damaged goods. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They said, Jimmy, we want to work this out. You're worth it. We're not going to bother. This is not going to stop us. So, like, nobody plays it forward. Nobody wants to play it forward because it doesn't rhyme with the narrative that they want to sing. It doesn't, you know, Jimmy G got a waiver in his contract. He's not going to be just, oh, Tom Brady's coming in. He's working out in full uniforms. I mean, it's ridiculous. Can we talk about something of substance as opposed to this? I mean, we've become the National Enquirer in terms of sports.
It also makes me laugh, too, with the Brady side of things, especially because he's trying to get a minority stake ownership in the Las Vegas Raiders. The way that that would have to work out for him to actually play is getting approval from all 32 NFL owners in order for that to work out, and figuring out how the salary would work and what would be against the cap, like play for $1, I guess, on the salary cap. It's a whole bizarre thing. But Michael, like, do you think that other teams in the AFC West are going to be like, yeah, absolutely, bring Tom Brady into the division? Sounds great.
I mean, look. Why let facts get in the way of the narrative? Why let that? I mean, we don't. I mean, there's been a website out there that's just been promoting Brady's coming. They won't let it go. Because, you know, the algorithms are simple. Put Brady in an algorithm and it's going to collect more clicks. I mean, look, Brady's done. He said that. The people that I know that are closest to Brady, and I know Tom, are saying he's done. Like, everybody thinks, and it's more because of he has to move on to chapter two of his life. He's got his children that he needs to be a father for as a single parent. Those are important things to this man.
Even Rob Gronkowski said yesterday that that's the craziest rumor that he's heard this offseason, and there have been plenty. Let's keep it in the quarterback realm of things here, and another quarterback that garners a lot of headlines and clicks. Aaron Rodgers talked to The Athletic's Matt Scheinman this week, and the source from Scheinman said that the Packers essentially were asked by Rodgers' agent to fire GM Brian Gutekunst or trade Aaron Rodgers at some point when they were going through all of the conflicts that they were. Is this news or noise that this information is coming out now?
I think it's a lot of noise. I mean, first of all, here's a question I have. If he wanted Goot out of there, why did he sign the big extension last year? Okay? If that's what he wanted. And they brought Randall Cobb in. They tried to make him happy. Look, this divorce has been ongoing for a while. I don't think Aaron's been happy, but why is it news today? He's on the Jets. Like, do we have to put a bow and package on the Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay? It's over. The divorce is ugly. It's over. He got a wonderful settlement. The Packers got a nice settlement. And the Jets paid a hefty price if he plays 70% in the settlement. So move on. It's over. Do I think, you know, first of all, you know, do you watch Succession?
I haven't this season, but yes, I have watched the show.
Well, so, like, if you want to blame Goot for everything that's going on, then you don't understand the motives behind some of these huge organizations. There's some people that control the strings more than what the titles indicate, as we saw in Succession, mm-hmm. who got promoted to become the president. So, you know, like, don't tell me you want Brian fired, you want Goot fired, when Mark Murphy is controlling everybody. He controls everything. It makes no sense at all. Like, the story doesn't add up. Just like it doesn't add up that Lee was on the sixth floor. Like, stuff doesn't add up.
By the way, I'm one of those people that likes to binge watch. The only reason I haven't watched Succession yet is because I wanted the finale to come out so that I could watch them all at once. I'm one of those types of people. Are you like a week-to-week person, Michael?
You know, I am, but I like to – sometimes I like to just wait to watch three or four in a row. I mean – to me, that show, there's nobody likable in that show. Like, there's nobody you like with. Like, at least with The Sopranos, Uncle Junior. Now, they're all bad in The Sopranos, and they're all murderers, and they're all after – I get all that. But there's humor in it, and they make you like them. In Succession, there's nobody likable. There's nobody likable. They're all just out for their own self.
Michael, yet of all of the people and the wrongdoing that happened in Sopranos, Meadow was still the character that I hated the most. So there you go.
AJ, I couldn't stand AJ. Yeah. To me, AJ was like the Bronx Tale, an unfulfilled promise. I mean, he just couldn't get his crap together, you know?
Okay, as far as the Jets go, by the way, they're plus 280 in the AFC East behind only the Buffalo Bills in those odds. The Raiders, before we move too far off of that, the longest shot in the AFC West as well, sitting 11-1. Let's go to we're just going all quarterbacks here because Deshaun Watson talked to media earlier this week at an event, says he would love to have his former wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins on the Browns. News or noise?
Of course he would. What would you expect him to say when you ask that question? Oh, no, I hate Deshaun. I hate DeAndre. I don't want him. You know, what do you would expect him to say? Like, of course. You know, would he make them a better team? Yeah, but it's got to fit within the salary cap. It's got to fit within their pay structure. Like, yeah, if I were in Cleveland, would this be something I would want to dig into? I would dig into it. I wouldn't say I have the answer. I would be concerned about how it would affect the entire team this year and going into next year. But would he help Deshaun become a good player? Yeah, just like you got Amari Cooper on the outside, you got Elijah Moore, you know, you got Donovan Jones, Peoples-Jones. I mean, he's a good player too, so you got four good players there. It would certainly help.
Why don't you run the sound, Elliot, because he definitely had a lot of love to give to his former wideout.
Me and D-Hop, we just naturally talk. We've been talking since – you know, the Houston days, and then also whenever he left for Arizona, we were always talking. So, you know, he's always been a brother of mine since I was coming out of high school. Our connection, our relationship has always been great. And I know it's a lot of things swirling around in the media of, you know, him possibly coming to Cleveland. And, you know, for me, my answer to that is, of course, we would love to have him. He knows that. We had a lot of connections, but, you know, that's kind of out of my range of things of kind of coordinating things. So all I can do is, you know, make a call and see what happens. Let AB do the rest.
He made the call. They obviously had a lot of success when they did play together. But you heard Hopkins when he talked about the list of things that he needs for a team that he's going to go to. Do you think that the Browns fit that?
That's a great question, Stormy. I mean, do they have a stable front office? Yeah, I guess they do, you know. With Andrew Barry's been the GM for a couple years, and, you know, Paul DePodesta's been the guy operating behind the scenes as the GM too. So, you know, I think Stefanski's got to win this year. It can't be 7-10 again. I think it's really important. So, you know, I think he knows Watson. Is Watson all in? Watson always has been a guy that appeared to be all in. Obviously, the off-the-field incidents down in Houston deters that a little bit. So, you know, are they committed to winning the Super Bowl? I would say there's no question they're committed to getting to a playoff appearance, because to get to the Super Bowl is a little bit of a reach, since they haven't even been to the playoffs since, what, Baker left them there, what, 20 after the strike year? I mean, after the COVID year.
Yep. The Browns, interesting position in the AFC North. The Bengals, a plus 140 favorite, followed by the Ravens, plus 240, and the Browns, plus 425. We're going to step aside. Will Hill joins us coming up next. You won't want to miss it. Get his picks.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page, where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand as well. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can join us by signing up now, just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Still to come here this hour on the Lombardi Line, we'll have a writing spotlight of Michael's latest article for VSiN.com. It's a make or break year for this second year quarterback. But first, we're going to turn our attention back to the NBA as we bring in good friend of the show, Will Hill, VSiN contributor at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. And Michael, this guy is already texting me in commercial breaks, giving me grief about me not liking Meadow on The Sopranos. She was so annoying.
His range, as I've often said, Will, the range is remarkable. I mean, from spanning the globe, as they used to say on the wide world of sports, it's just impressive. It's all you could say. You tip your cap.
I'm a little concerned. If she doesn't like Meadow, I mean, what do you think she says about us, Lombardi? I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
Seasons, did she not drive you insane?
There's a little brattiness. Yeah, you're right. With the,
I never had a daughter. Yeah. I never had a daughter, so it was probably, I have a granddaughter, which is different than having a daughter. So, but I could see that. That would be hard. And all her daughter's friends, it's not an easy thing, no.
No, it's not at all. I'm just saying. But we'll work our way. I didn't know also, yes, like you said, Michael, though, all the things that he does in the world of sports, but also a television aficionado. Leave it to Will.
Completely. Scheduling, too. Don't forget that, Stormy. He can schedule, too. He's wondering why the game's starting at 8:30 tonight.
How about the reasons he buys the Lombardi? I mean, Succession's a good show, but people put it on the same level as The Wire and Sopranos. I think it's total recency bias.
It's complete. I mean, The Wire and Succession, I mean, you're talking different levels here. It's the same thing. Like, somebody was watching, they had the 76er 2001 season revisited, and Femi was watching it last night. I haven't seen it yet. It's a documentary on NBA TV. And they were watching Shaq in that final. And Femi's like, oh, my God, anybody wants to compare him to Embiid is crazy. But people don't spend the time to go back and study it. They don't give it a chance.
Yeah, I don't want y'all to hate me, but I've never seen The Wire before. So I'm just going to move on to the NBA Finals now, if that's all right with you.
Okay, Stormy, here we go.
The Denver Nuggets, a big favorite tonight in Game 1, my friend. 8.5, 9-point favorite, total 219.5. And looking at your bets here specifically for this opening game, Will, I'm sensing a theme that you're kind of just looking for different ways that you can buy in on Denver without having to lay the number and the hefty price.
I don't think this is a bad matchup for the Heat. I think this is a total nightmare matchup for the Heat. They just when you're guarding Denver, it's about how do you stop Jokic, and nobody can really stop him. Anthony Davis is as well equipped as anybody, and he had a nightmare trying to guard him. But Miami just doesn't have the size, doesn't have the bodies. Adebayo is a good defensive player, but he's given off, what, 40, 50 pounds, a few inches, where Jokic can just wear him down, I think. Jokic can shoot over the top with that high release, where Adebayo can't really affect the shot. I think when you go back and look, and again, you have to take regular season basketball with a grain of salt, but Denver has killed Miami the last few years, and it makes sense. There's just not a lot of size for Miami. I know there's talk that Miami will dust off Kevin Love and put him on Jokic and use Adebayo as sort of an Ed Reed free safety roaming around to just disrupt things. I don't know if that can work. Do you put Butler on Jokic and try that? I mean, I doubt they're going to zone them very much. Maybe you just give it a look of possession or two as a little bit of a curveball. But Jokic is too good of a passer, too good of a shooter. They cut. They all pass. They all cut. They all shoot. So I don't think you can zone them. I just think Denver's going to have their way offensively. So Denver team total over 114, I think, is a good bet. You do worry a little bit about the rust. I mean, 10 days is a lot. It's like having two consecutive all-star breaks. That's a lot of time. So you do worry about that. You know, the first quarter, the first half maybe, but to me, Denver's going to pull away. I just think Denver, this is a tough spot for Miami. A 12-round knockdown, drag-out series against Boston. They get on a plane. They're playing Denver a few days later. I could see Miami running out of gas late here. So I think Denver wins tonight. I think this is a good matchup. I think they win going away. I think they probably pull away here in the second half.
You know, Will, Miami played the most zone of any team in the league. And we know Jokic is a great passer. I have a feeling, though, they're going to try to say to Jokic, you do the scoring. We're going to make sure Michael Porter, Murray, and everyone else doesn't get theirs. Now, it affects you in offensive rebounds and all that stuff. But to me, the zone was effective for them against the bigger teams. So you got to believe they're going to lean on what they were successful with. I think Jokic's under assist might look like, oh, it's 9.5, but it might look easy. But I think they're going to force him to be the scorer and not the distributor.
Yeah, you kind of have to make up in your mind if you're going to play these props in terms of the Nuggets players of how they're going to play Jokic, what Spoelstra going to do, because it's really pick your poison. All right, we can't guard Jokic one-on-one. We'll just let him be a scorer, and he's going to drop 45 or 50 points. That's not a great scenario, but is that better? It might be better than, all right, we're going to double him and just leave ourselves naked all over the floor to cutters, to open three-point shooters. You brought up the point Van Gundy always brings up where you can't double him if he can see the double team because he's just going to pick you apart. It's just going to be layup city. It's going to be open three-pointers with Porter Jr. and with Murray. So you have to make up in your mind how Spoelstra is going to handle this and then bet it accordingly in terms of the props. I think it's like, you know, it's like pitching to a great hitter in baseball where you just can't do the same thing every time. So sometimes they'll double them, sometimes they won't. You have to mix your pitches a little bit. So I don't think we'll see a steady diet of the same thing. So I do think Spoelstra and the Heat will try to mix this up as much as possible.
When you say you feel like it's a nightmare matchup, I know you like the Nuggets specifically tonight, but when it comes to the series as a whole, minus 425 isn't exactly the way that you want to play it. Do you like the series spread -1.5? Could you even go as far as 2.5? Are you doing an exact series score? How do you play it for the set as a whole?
Man, it seems disrespectful to pick a sweep with how competitive Miami has been and just how tough and how they've shot the ball and Riley Spoelstra, the whole thing. But I do think I'll just call it 5. I think if you can lay 2.5 at plus money, even 1.5, you're almost laying $2 now. It's a hefty price even to say, you know, Miami loses this game in 6 or 7 or 6.
Yeah, well, I bet the -1.5 games at -150 earlier this week, and then it's like -185, -190 yeah. Already.
I know, and that opened -130. So that just shows you people are thinking the same thing. They don't want to lay the $4. To me, this is Denver gets both at home. They get a split in Miami, then they close it out in 5. Miami's done a good job this postseason, but they've had the same MO. That is win game one in Milwaukee, win game one in New York, win game one and two in Boston. They haven't had to play from behind. I feel like if they don't get this one and it's, you know, 1-0 and before you know it, it's 2-0, I think eventually they just run out of gas. This is a team. I know they're not a typical 8 seed. You throw the seeds out the window. This still is a team that was outscored in the regular season. And to me, they're just running into an absolute freight train of Denver with home court, with rest, with the best player in the world. And he is the best player in the world. I don't know how much of an odds maker he's going to be when he retires if he doesn't think they're the favorite. But to me, this is just Denver.
Yeah, and you also like Michael Porter over 15.5 points. You think they're going to kick the ball to him? I mean, that's a tough matchup for them, too. To me, his length and his height is really a problem.
Yeah, you think of Denver and you think, I mean, I don't know if people say this, but I think there's a perception that they're a finesse team because they're so good on offense, and you sort of associate being good on offense with finesse. But, man, this team is big. Jokic is big. Gordon's big. Porter Jr. is enormous. And like you said, they just don't have the 6'9", 6'10 bodies to affect the shot. And man, he is, when he's shooting the ball well, it's like he's 6'10 Klay Thompson. There's just nobody that can affect his shot. And you just go up and down the Miami roster. It's Duncan Robinson. It's Martin. They just don't have the long athletic wings to disrupt Porter Jr. And to bother his shot. And, you know, if you are going to double Jokic at some point, Porter Jr. is right there. Murray's right there. So I think Porter, always these role players always shoot the ball better at home. So a few threes for Porter will get you, you know, if you hit three, you're already at, what, 9. And to me, 15.5 is a doable number. So I like Porter Jr. over here.
If the Miami Heat have a chance to have any success, we all know that it's going to be behind their star in Jimmy Butler and his will to win that he puts forth, I feel like, night in and night out. What kind of a night do you anticipate, though, for him coming off the hard-fought Game 7 earlier this week?
Yeah, you never feel great betting against Butler, but I think under 27.5 points is a good bet just because there's a scenario here where Denver's up 16 end of the third quarter. And if you remember a week ago when it was Game 5 in Boston, it was the same thing. Miami's down 15-17 in the third quarter, and Spoelstra said, you know what, we're going to punt here. We'll get our guys some rest, and we'll get ready for the next game. If you have a scenario like that where Denver's up 16 or up 18, middle, late third quarter, Spoelstra just might say, you know what, my team hasn't had a blow in a while. Denver's rested. Let me use the rest of the fourth quarter, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday to get ready for game two. So that's why, you know, you do pretty well betting unders, because if it's a blowout, you know, the under's in play. Bad night, the under's in play. Butler has not been that efficient in a long time. I know it was controversial a little bit who won conference finals MVP, and I really didn't have a problem giving it to Butler. I think it could have gone either way, but it's been a while since those Milwaukee series where he's just shooting, you know, really well, putting up 40, 50 points on high efficiency. Even when he gets to the mid-20s in points, it takes a lot of shots. So I think under 27.5 points here on Butler's a good bet.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that game six loss, and he was 5 of 21 from the floor.
Yeah, and Caleb Martin has really been there. I mean, he's, what, shooting 60% in the last four games from three-point line. So it's like, you know, he's been their go-to shooter. He made some incredibly tough three-point shots in that last game.
Will, you're awesome. Thanks, buddy. Good luck with
your
bets.
Thanks, Will.
All right, see you. Thanks for having me.
That's Will Hill. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at NotTheWillHill. Coming up on the Lombardi Line, Michael's going to break down the importance of year two for an NFL player's development and why this quarterback has a lot on his shoulders coming into this season. Don't go anywhere. The Lombardi Line coming back next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA, is ready for the finals. Sign up using the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets, even if you don't win your first bet. Enjoy BetMGM's wide variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and boosted odds specials during the championship series. Sign up today with bonus code VSIN and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win that first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up, new customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Gotta love those risk-free opportunities for people getting involved, getting BetMGM for the first time back here on the Lombardi Line. And Michael, obviously, you know, I cover college football really closely during the season. And when I talk to coaches ahead of the year, a big topic of conversation is always the jump from a player's freshman season to their sophomore season. And I feel like there's a lot of parallels there when it comes to the NFL as well. And you have an article up on VSiN.com that dropped over the last 24 hours called NFL Second Year Players Can Make or Break Seasons. Why is that first year to second year so important?
Well, because the first year, you know, they're just learning the system. They don't have any confidence. They don't play fast. They're thinking and playing. In the second year, the thought is removed. They're just naturally playing, and their instincts for the position can take over. This is why, I mean, I would say 15% of the rookies are the only ones who make significant contributions to the team. It's always that second year, and we spend so much time focusing on, oh, we got to grade the draft. We got to grade the offseason. When in reality, it's the 22 draft, the 22 offseason that really can show itself or ties that bind the team together. So that's why. And as I was writing it, as I started out, you know, I wanted to write about Desmond Ridder, who you covered at Cincinnati in the Conference USA. And I was going to write about other players, but it just seemed to me there's no player carrying a franchise as a second-year player more than Desmond Ridder.
Well, and even I think it was just a handful of days ago, Desmond Ridder was quoted in an article saying that his head was spinning this time last year. He's in a very different situation now, having played the final four games of last season, learning day in and day out, gaining more comfortability with the pieces around him. What does he need to do in order to take that step this year and make the most of the opportunity? Because the Falcons are a team that were in a lot of talks this offseason about going out and getting another guy, but they stuck with Desmond Ridder, believing in him.
Yeah, I question, do you think it was they believe in him or it was the only option? I mean, that's where I'm not certain, because I went back and watched all four games, and I watched him play, and I watched how they operated the offense, okay? So what did Arthur Smith do in this offense to help him? What did he do to kind of give him an opportunity to handle the events? He opens up with the Saint game. It wasn't very pretty in that game. And then the next game was, I think, Baltimore. Not pretty either. You know, a lot of high-low reads to the side of the field, try to run the ball. Once they got behind, it was hard. And then the Arizona game, he got a little bit more comfortable. It wasn't until the fourth game of the year that he throws his first two touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Now, what he was really good at doing, Stormy, was protecting the football. He fumbled three times. He lost two. But he didn't throw an interception. He was not going to throw one. The problem I have here is, though, when you watched him in college, there were moments where you said to yourself, man, he's really good. Mm-hmm. He's going to be really good. And then there were moments where he was so inconsistent. And those inconsistencies, those highs, those lows, those ups, those downs, make me wonder, can he turn the corner? And I often said this, what happens to a lot of us in sports is we get really carried away with the great kid, the character, the leader that he is. And I'm sure he's all those things, because as you know, he was that way at Cincinnati. But are we thinking too much into that as opposed to what his skill set is?
No, I think that's a good point of conversation, because I know in talking to Luke Fickell specifically about Desmond Ridder, that senior season he had, he, like, every time that you talked about him, he would glow about Desmond Ridder and the character and the type of a leader that he was, able to get guys on the same page, just a really, really good person that you want to root for. But at the end of the day, in the National Football League, there's a lot more that you have than just that. And I wonder, especially because those final four games of the season, I know I've said this to you before, I was very hopeful and optimistic that because you had the change at quarterback and that Desmond Ridder does have a good arm, that they would try to move the ball more downfield through the air. Is that more like inconsistency when it comes to accuracy specifically? Is it a lack of confidence? Like, where do you see the inconsistency most when it comes to him?
I think a lot of it is with the accuracy, is putting the ball where it needs to be placed. This notion and this kind of line that we have, well, the receivers are going to make the quarterback better. No, 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 that's not true. The quarterback makes the receivers better. If the receivers make the quarterback better, then why wasn't Trey Lance any good? Why was Brock Purdy better than Trey Lance?
You're trying to just dig in the wound with me for San Francisco, aren't you?
Well, I mean, there's the perfect example of it. You take over the offense. I mean, Lamar Jackson takes over for Joe Flacco with the same receiving core, and all of a sudden they go 6-1. He's a rookie, and Flacco was 4-5. The generation of talent outside of the position comes from the point guard. He's the distributor. And so the quarterback is the point guard. And when I watched it, Ridder averaged 6.1 yards per attempt. That's horrible. You can't win games at 6.1. I mean, that's really bad. And it wasn't because his eye level was down. Sometimes your eye level goes down because you got hit too much, so you throw the ball, you check it down. His eye level was up. He wanted to throw it. He just wasn't ready to pull the pin on it. He didn't have enough confidence. He could get the ball in the right spot. He was worried he was going to throw an interception, you know, so he didn't want to take a chance. Oh, it's a little dirty. I don't want to throw that. Well, look, every throw in the NFL is going to be a little dirty. Like, there's no really – it's not Alabama throws where guys are wide open. There's nobody around them. There's going to be dirty throws, and you got to be really accurate with it.
So currently at DraftKings, we see the Falcons set at 7.5 win total, plus 250 to win the NFC South. A lot of people think that they have the door wide open when it comes to that division, that it could be anybody's division, really, whether it's the Saints, the Falcons, or the Carolina Panthers. And if you're believing in the Falcons and you're betting on this team to live up to a lot of the expectations you have with this second-year quarterback, what's the biggest fear you have offensively? Is it that a defense is just going to sell out to stop the run and you have to rely on Desmond Ridder? Is that going to be the thing that's going to make bettors most hesitant?
I think Atlanta has only one style of football to play. They've got to control the clock. They've got to run it. They were 31st in the National Football League in passing attempts last year and 31st in passing yards. They were 24th in touchdown passes. So they have to slow the game down. They have to play a slow pace game. Keep their defense off the field, play 28 minutes of defense, 32 minutes of offense, right? Slow the game down. That's really good on paper. If we get behind 14-0 in the first half or 14-0 in the first quarter or 20 minutes into the game, we're down 17-0, it's really going to be hard for Atlanta to generate a drop-back pass game and get back into the game unless they're playing against somebody. Remember, the Tampa game that was his best game was against Tampa when they had nothing to play for. So of the four games, you know, two teams that he played, Arizona was horrible, and he led them on a come-from-behind win in that game. But then the last game against Tampa, when he threw his two touchdown passes, Tampa's not playing anybody. So style's going to be really important for Atlanta. And that style is going to result in a lot of three-point wins and three-point losses, because if you can control the pace, you're going to be in the game in the fourth quarter. They outscored their opponents in the fourth quarter 100-76. However, that being said, you know, they couldn't close games out, couldn't close Pittsburgh, couldn't close these games out that they needed to close out. And they got fortunate beating Carolina in the first game because DJ Moore took his hat off.
If Desmond Ridder has the most pressure on him as a second season player for his team having success or not, who would the next guy be for you in terms of that second year player facing an uphill battle this year, or just somebody that's important?
Well, Kalafatis, the kid from Purdue, the defensive end, the first round pick, he had 6 sacks last year for Kansas City. I think that's how you say his name. To me, he's a guy who's got to take over for Frank Clark. He's got to play all the time. Can he do that? Can he come in there and do that? You know, Trey Anderson from Atlanta, the linebacker, second-year player, he's got to play good for them. There's so many of these guys out there that you look at, yeah, this guy's got to play really good, you know, because if they don't, they're counting on him. And if he doesn't play good in his second year, uh-oh, that's a real problem. Like, for example, Walker Little at Stanford, who's a second-round pick or third-round pick for Jacksonville, he played as a rookie. He played good. Now you're hoping he plays even better next year. Same thing with all the rookie offensive linemen that got in the draft last year, especially the two out in Seattle.
Well, and that's good to know that it's not just at the quarterback position with Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, Brock Purdy, but it's the players in general taking that jump from year one to year two. All right, Michael, we got to take a quick timeout here as we wrap up hour one. On the other side of the break, though, it's time for No Way or No Doubt as we break down some of the more notable headlines around the league.
You should do one of those. You do No Way, too. You could do it.
All right, throw me one. Throw me one.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.